When you leave the house, one of the last things you do is something you take entirely for granted, putting on a pair of shoes. Hi, I'm Rob West. That simple act isn't possible for millions of children in dozens of countries around the world because they have no shoes. Sean Spurrier joins us today to talk about how you can help. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, we're delighted to have Sean Spurrier on the program for the first time. Sean is director of Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls, an underwriter of this program, and I'm so excited to share this ministry with you. Sean, great to have you on the program.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much.
Sean, you have a wonderful ministry, but it's possible that some of our listeners haven't heard of it. So why don't you begin with a brief overview of the ministry and its mission?
Absolutely. So Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls is the largest humanitarian aid project of Buckner International, where our mission is to follow the example of Jesus by serving vulnerable children, families, and seniors. And one of the ways that we get to do that is through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls, where we come alongside believers, churches, and businesses, and families throughout the U.S., to provide new shoes for children throughout the world.
I love that. Let's talk about how that works. I know shoes are critical for not only health, but education and even opportunity, especially in underdeveloped countries. So explain how that works.
Absolutely. So in many of the countries we work in, children can't go to school without having a pair of shoes. And so we're promoting education through providing that gift. Additionally, there are many foodborne illnesses in some of the communities we work in that are entirely preventable from having a pair of shoes. And so we get to promote health in that way. And finally, many of the shoes we distribute provide an opportunity for Buckner Ministries to meet and come alongside children and families in their community, providing redemptive ministry for them right there.
I know that paves the way for sharing the gospel. What does that look like as you're providing these shoes?
You know, well, again, every pair of shoes is an opportunity to directly connect with the child and let them know that they're loved, they're cared for, and they're not forgotten by us or by God. Additionally, every pair of shoes will have an encouraging note to them, often expressing the love of Christ for them. And then, again, like I said, every pair of shoes is often a start of a relationship between the recipient and Buckner Ministries, where Christ-centered redemptive ministry is being done.
I'd love for you to share a story that might help our listeners connect how donations to Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls can actually change the lives of these kids around the globe.
Yeah, you know, I think of Cynthia in Kenya, a little 12-year-old that I just recently learned about. She lost both of her parents and was not only struggling with the emotional and relational trauma that comes with that, but also extreme poverty. She recently received a pair of shoes at her school, which is operated by Buckner. And that opened the door for our staff to learn more about her story and her needs. She's now in Buckner programming. She's thriving, growing in her confidence and in her faith. And one fun component to this is that she's kind of emerged in her confidence, and she just recently became the deputy president of her school, all because someone carried a burden for their neighbor by providing a pair of shoes.
Wow, that's incredible. Give us a picture of what the shoe distribution looks like. Take us on the ground and just kind of paint the picture for our listeners on how this happens.
Yeah, so quite often on these distributions, sometimes they're happening on mission trips, and volunteers will very regularly end up with a child. They will literally wash their feet, will follow the example of Jesus in that way, give them a new pair of shoes, a new pair of socks, and just spend time with them to let them know that they're loved and they're cared for. And again, often this is a moment to introduce them to programming that will continue to reinforce that message for them.
Sean, this is incredible. If our listeners want to get involved, what does it look like for them to put a pair of shoes on a vulnerable child's feet somewhere around the globe?
You know, there are a variety of ways that you can get involved with Buckner Shoes, but I would encourage your listeners today to visit giveshoestoday.org, where they can provide health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes right now. Every $15 will provide a pair of shoes for a child somewhere throughout the world.
That's incredible. Folks, it's so simple to do. GiveShoesToday.org, and you can be a part of this life-changing ministry where not only is hope and health and opportunity being provided, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is being provided alongside this new pair of shoes for a vulnerable child. GiveShoesToday.org. Sean, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Sean Spurrier, director of Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. All right, folks, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What's the first thing you think about when you get up in the morning? A deadline at work, maybe chores you didn't finish yesterday, or maybe you're like me and heading for the coffee grinder. Well, none of those are bad, but there's something better. Lamentations calls us to remember and reflect on God's love and faithfulness every morning. It says, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." That's always been true, and it always will be because of Jesus. God's mercies are new every morning. Get daily encouragement through time in God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
What is the most important truth that you'll ever hear? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
What is the message of the cross of Jesus Christ? The cross of Jesus Christ just screams out, "I love you."
Discover the power that is available to you through the cross of Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
I'm so glad you're joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. It was great to start our show today talking with Sean Spurrier at Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Just so grateful periodically to shine a light on some wonderful ministries that are doing the work in the name of Jesus around the globe. And this is an incredible opportunity for you to help put a new pair of shoes on an orphan's feet somewhere around the globe, which is going to help them avoid disease and get to school. And obviously the love of Jesus being shared alongside that. You know, we talk a lot about giving and generosity here on this program because the focus is how we manage God's money faithfully. And we know that what literally jumps off the page in the Old and New Testament is that we're created in the image of God, the ultimate giver. And so giving is a to be a part of how we handle God's money. Yes, we're to provide, and yes, we're even to enjoy what God has entrusted to us, but we're also to give to our local church and beyond, to those ministries on the heart of God, and certainly widows and orphans are on the heart of God. We see that in Scripture. And so if this is an area where you'd like to lean in, perhaps you'd like to provide shoes and life-changing care for vulnerable children throughout the world, just head to giveshoestoday.org. It's so simple and something you can do quickly. Again, it's giveshoestoday.org. All right, we're ready to turn the corner and take your questions on anything financial today. Yeah, we want to be faithful in managing God's money over a long time, over our lifetime, being faithful with what God has entrusted to us. And that means we go back to God's Word, we pull out the big ideas and themes, and we apply them to the financial decisions that we're making today. So if you have a financial decision or choice, maybe something you've been struggling with in your financial life, you'd like to talk about it, well, that's why we're here. Give us a call at 800-525-7000. Again, we've got lines open, and we're ready to take your calls. 800-525-7000. Let's dive in. Today we're going to begin in Alberta, Canada. Sarah, go right ahead.
Good morning.
Hi.
I am just wondering about my decisions about my finances. I actually have a property right now for sale, a townhouse that I acquired when I was very young age. So it's on sale, for sale right now. And now I'm thinking to sell two more properties, that one I have inherited from my mom, and one is also I have acquired when I was in college.
Okay.
To also, I'm also like supporting a couple of ministries. And I believe that the Lord has blessed me with all these properties, because I have a couple more properties. It's because he wanted me to use this for his ministry and for his work, you know.
Yes.
And but also I want it to be self-sufficient, you know. I want my family to be self-sufficient, like to grow our own food. And that's why I'm thinking if we will be able to acquire a farm, then we wouldn't be like buying everything on the market, you know, just to supply for our food. So what do you think? Like, I was thinking if I can sell two more properties and use those money to a portion of that to a down payment for a house, for a farm, and then and a portion of that to support the ministries that I am supporting.
Yes. Well, Sarah, first of all, I appreciate your desire to give unto the Lord. I also can appreciate that you want to be a wise steward of the assets that have been entrusted to you, and those are largely assets that are related to real property. Certainly, the extent to which you're going to buy something, and whether it's a single-family home or, as you described, a farm, I think your ability to do that without taking on a lot of debt is going to help to ensure that you have the ability to live within your means. Let me ask a question. What do you believe the value of these properties to be in total?
The three properties in total, I think, is around more than 100 grand, like probably $20,000 or 110.
Okay. And that's not each, that's all together, correct?
Yes, those three.
Okay, very good. And how much do you think you would spend, or have you gotten that far, when you buy the next property, whether that's a farm or not?
Well, I just need a single-family farm, right? So we were thinking around 400 to 600.
Okay, so, very good. Yep. And do you have any other assets, liquid assets, like savings or anything like that?
I do. I do have $10,000 that I still have in my savings.
Okay, very good. And are you married?
Yes.
Okay.
So,
and go ahead.
Yeah, so my husband's job is not, like, how do you say that? He's only by project.
Okay.
Yeah, so he doesn't have a job every day. So, like, when he doesn't have a project, he doesn't make money, right?
Okay.
So now I want to be smart anything, because I don't want to lose all the properties. And then now I don't, then
sure.
I won't, you know.
Yes.
And then, so
and are you
I am,
working full-time?
I am working full-time. I'm in medical field. And the reason that, because when I gave birth, my job was very demanding, and I had to, like, be on call. You know, we were very short-staffed. So my husband, when my son is sick, he needed to stay home.
Okay.
So he was very supportive. We talked about it, and we, as a family, we decided that I would keep my job because of the benefits.
Sure. Very good. And are you all able to cover your bills every month just based on your regular income alone, or does it require your husband's income as well, even though it's sporadic?
No, I'm able to support my family.
Okay. Just on your regular salary,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. And would you be able to keep that job if you relocated and bought a single family home with enough land for farming?
Should be able to. We're looking around the area anyway, so
okay.
I should be able to keep my job.
Yeah. And then last question, where are you living today? Do you own the property that you're in?
Yes. So we bought this property 7 years ago.
Okay. And what do you think it's worth?
Well, right now, because we just bought this old property. That's why I'm thinking to buy another one. This is probably $180,000 to $200,000.
All right, and do you have a mortgage on it?
Worth, yes, we still owe around $110,000.
Okay, all right. So you've got about $90,000 equity in this property that you're living in, and do you have any mortgages on any of the other properties?
No, I fully paid.
Okay.
I paid everything. The
townhouse
is fully paid.
Okay, so after expenses, and you're going to have expenses, you also may have taxes, and I realize some of these are in different countries. I think my notes say that one of these is even in the Philippines. So you're going to have somebody help you work through the tax implications of the sales. But let's say at the end, if you sold your current property and you sold all those other properties after taxes and expenses to get them sold, you know, let's say you ended up with $175,000, maybe $150,000. And you're looking to buy something, you know, between $400,000 and $600,000. That's going to be a pretty significant mortgage because you don't have other assets. So you just need to count the cost there, especially with higher interest rates right now. I'd love for your mortgage payment to be below 25% of your take-home pay, so you've got enough left for everything else. So I think you need to work on the budget next. Let's do this. I'm going to connect you with a certified Christian financial counselor to help you work through that at our cost, and then we'll take it from there. Thanks for your call today. We'll be right back.
Isn't it interesting that the first department store to allow cross-dressing individuals into either restroom was the same store which later marketed LGBTQ-themed clothing for children? Some of those clothes actually included a satanic logo. Target is a perfect illustration of the slippery slope which is moral decline. Such corporate policies accelerate depravity and endanger our wives and daughters who use Target restrooms or changing areas. Learn more and sign the Target Boycott Pledge at afa.net.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the perfect opportunity to prepare for God's calling on your life. It's easy to make excuses why you can't pursue what God has called you to do, but this program removes those barriers. Flexible class options, an affordable cost, and highly trusted professors. WBS is the school for you, and now is the time to take a next step and prepare for God's calling on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, lines are open. We're ready for your call right now. 800-525-7000. We'll head back to the phones here in just a moment. But first, according to some new research from the Alliance for Lifetime Income, what we're seeing is most new retirees are claiming Social Security retirement benefits before age 65. Now, naturally, financial experts are urging retirees to consider waiting another 5 to even 8 years to claim their Social Security benefits, depending on whether they're taking it at 65 or even 62, because this results in significantly higher lifetime benefits. Of course, the decision when to claim Social Security has to come down to ultimately the size of the monthly and lifetime benefits and what your need is today and in the future. More than half of the final cohort of the baby boom generation, which is about 30 million Americans, will turn 65 by 2030 and rely primarily on Social Security for income. Now, if you take Social Security as early as 62, you could see as much as a 30% reduction based on that full retirement benefit that you would have received if you waited. And then for every year you wait beyond full retirement age, you're going to see an increase in that check of about 8%. Now, here's what we see happening is that those who wait until age 70, obviously you're giving up the benefits you would have received between full retirement age and age 70. By doing so, you're going to end up with that check, well, usually about 25% higher than full retirement age for the rest of your life. Now, how long does it take you to make up through that higher check of about 25% a month? How long does it take to make up what you gave up during the years between full retirement age and 70 when you were not collecting? What we're seeing is about 12 years, so about the age of 82. And so if you live beyond 82, you've got that higher check. You've been paid back in full for that which you gave up, and then you enjoy that benefit check about 25% higher for the rest of your life. And so I think the idea here is if you have the ability to delay taking it, maybe you're working a few years longer than you anticipated, especially if you feel you are ill-prepared, you have not saved enough for retirement, I think there's something to be said about waiting to take that check, allowing that check to continue to grow so that you have a little bit more margin to be able to cover your expenses for the rest of your life. Something to think about, especially in light of this data that says most new retirees are claiming benefits before the age of 65, which means they're taking a pretty significant reduction off of that full retirement age benefit. Something to think about and to talk to your advisor about as you make retirement planning decisions. All right, let's head back to the phones. Two lines open, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Suzanne. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just read the book, Home Equity and Reverse Mortgages, and have decided to move forward to do that. I contacted my bank, and they don't do it. I did not find a list of banks maybe I could contact in the book. Do you have any suggestions in Virginia, specifically Richmond, of banks that do this?
Yeah. Well, what I would tell you is that, we have a partner, an underwriter here at Faith and Finance that we've worked with for a long time that are specialists in this area of reverse mortgages. The reason that we're partners with them is just because the organization is really founded on biblical principles. The CEO is a committed Christ follower, and they really are experts in this area, so they're trusted, and they cover the entire United States. So what I would do, at least alongside any other options you're exploring, is at the very least go to movement.com/faith. That's Movement Mortgage. You'll find them at movement.com/faith. And then somebody can give you a call and talk through your options.
Okay. One more time, please, Rob. Movement.
Yes, ma'am.
Mortgage.
Let me move back up. Just the word movement.com faith. Movement.com/faith.
Got it. Okay. Right. I will absolutely do that. And I thank you so much for all you do and for this book, because it's made me feel a lot better about doing that.
Well, very good. Thank you for calling, Suzanne. May the Lord bless you, and call anytime. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's go to Mississippi. Hi, Diane. How can I help?
Hi. My house loan is only in my husband's name, and I was wondering if I should try to put my name on it also, or just leave it the way it is.
Yes. And so you're not talking about the deed to your home, Diane. You're talking about the mortgage specifically. Is that right?
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. The only way to change the names listed on a mortgage would be to refinance in the new borrower's names. Now, I don't think it's an issue, because by law, if your spouse passes away, you are able to assume that mortgage. I think the main thing is that you're listed on the deed as co-owners. Now, depending on the state you're in, and it does change in terms of whether it's a community property state or not, that would likely not be an issue either, even if it was in your husband's name only. But if we're really just talking about the mortgage and not the deed, it's definitely not worth refinancing at this point just to get your name on it, because you're going to end up with a significantly higher interest rate in most cases. And if he were to pass away before you, the law requires that you be able to assume that and then just continue on. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you. Ooh.
All right. Very good. Thank you for your call today. May the Lord bless you, Diane. We appreciate you being on the program. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Let's go to Alabama. Hi, Katie. How can I help?
Hey, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know what? Let's do this. I didn't take a close enough look at the clock, and I've got to hit this break here. So if you don't mind, Katie, you stay right there, and you'll be first up just around the corner. We appreciate your call today. Just hang on the line. Folks, this is Faith and Finance. We're only halfway through the program. Still have a lot of ground to cover. If you have a financial question, call right now, 800-525-7000. By the way, if you'd like to support our work, a gift of $20 or more, we'll send you a copy of our new study, Rich Toward God, at faithfi.com. We'll be right back. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA. The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. This is where we want God to be your ultimate treasure and money a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. Looks like we have two lines open, 800-525-7000. All right, back to Alabama. Hi, Katie. How can I help?
Hey, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
Good. So I am 33, not your typical 401k questions or retirement mm-hmm. questions, but I have done everything right. I saved my money. I had a 401k a couple of years ago. My stepdad is an accountant, so he's taught me how to budget. I'm studying accounting right now and in finance classes. I quit my nighttime job, which paid really well, in order to gain experience at a daytime accounting position. And after I budget my money with my bills and everything, I barely break even just to cover my bills. And so my question is, like, what can I do? I mean, I've cut my spending. I have no debt. I have no credit cards. My car is used and paid off. It's just bills. I use coupons, and I don't know what else I can do in order to, like, survive or even have an emergency fund right now.
Yeah, no, I certainly get it, Katie. Well, it can be frustrating, and especially today, you know, where inflation is up, everything's more expensive now. Obviously, the cost of housing is challenging. I mean, usually we start with, if the budget is not working, we start with what we call the big three, which are housing, transportation, and food. You know, those are usually the budget busters. And if any one of those is out of whack, you know, oftentimes we've got to start there. Now, you said in the case of the transportation category, you feel like you're in good shape driving a used car. I think I heard you say you don't have a payment. Is that right?
That's right. It's paid off. We paid in cash with our savings.
Okay. Very good. And you said we. Are you married?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. And so both you and your husband are working?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. And what about housing? Do you all own your home?
We do. We after COVID, we had to move back home and rent an apartment. And instead, we didn't want to waste our money on rent, so we looked for a house, and we live in a very small house, nothing outside of our means. I think our mortgage is, well, our mortgage is $1,200 a month, so it's $600 for each of us, plus our utilities and everything. So it's within average-ish means.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think it's less than 25% of your take-home pay?
It, for me, it's more.
Okay. Yeah. So do you all divide your expenses up between the two of you?
Yes. We have a budget and we know our expenses and everything, but I make about right around $2,000 a month working 35 hours a week. But the other 5 hours I go to school in the daytime.
Yeah.
So I don't have room to make 40 hours a week or overtime. I make 18 an hour, but I net about 14. So I make, you know, right around 2000 a month, and my bills add up to about exactly 2000 with mortgage, utilities, insurance, groceries,
yeah. Okay.
And that sort of thing.
Yeah. And so when you put everything in and you work through this budget, you all are able to balance it. You just don't have any margin left over. Is that right?
Right. So if something were to happen to my car or, you know, if anything were to happen, thank goodness I'm, you know, I don't have any medication or, you know, but I have no room for emergency, you know, if something were to happen.
Okay. And why are you all handling things separately? Why not put everything together and approach it that way?
Like put what together?
Well, it seems like you guys have looked at this like my income, his income, my expenses, his expenses. Is that the way you're approaching it, or are you putting everything together as you know in your marriage, in your family?
Oh yeah. We do put everything together. We split just about everything. We split everything down the middle. For the most part, and he usually covers. If we do have an emergency, he'll usually cover it. But I feel like I want to contribute more. I want to have that emergency fund. And, you know, he works a blue collar job. He doesn't have that much to, you know, come out of pocket for.
Sure. But I guess that's my question is why not take a step back and say, listen, everything that comes into our household, because we're one flesh, two become one, including finances,
right.
Why not put everything in and use that as a starting point and then build the plan around it as opposed to saying, okay, I'll take half the bills, you take half the bills, and I've got this one and you've got that one. It really is about your finances as a couple. And building the budget that way, I think, is the better approach. And then once we do that, we say, okay, where do we need to cut back? Now, listen, this might be that season of life. You all are young. You're still in school. Obviously, you're pursuing a career track that's going to have some upward opportunities in terms of, you know, you being able to work full time once you're out of school. Your income will increase as you get into a position with an accounting firm and, you know, use these skills you're getting. And so we've got to, you know, get through this season of life. Sounds like you guys are managing it well because you're not taking a lot of credit card debt on. We just need to trim the budget a little bit so that you can put something in for the long term, but more importantly, so that you can build up that emergency fund. And I can't help but think that with both of you working, not having any credit card debt, not having a car payment, I mean, you should be able to dial back your spending or even during these younger, leaner years, such that you could free up at least a couple of $100 a month that you could automatically put in savings and build up, even if it took a year for you to get to 1, 2, 3, maybe even as much as 6 months worth of expenses. But I think one of the starting points, at least for me, is for you all to kind of move away from the mine and yours and put it all together and build the plan together, regardless of who generates the income. You know, they're all shared expenses and shared income. But give me your thoughts on that.
I think that's a really good idea. We've kind of done that, but we put everything together and kind of equally split everything. He'll cover insurance if I cover, internet, which I do need for school, and that sort of thing. But maybe I could do, we could even it out a little, maybe revisit that and even it out a little bit better.
Yeah, I think here's the idea. I mean, let me, it sounds like maybe I'm not being clear. I think, you know, we need to go to one account. And that would get rid of all of this. So if everybody's income, regardless of how many hours you work, regardless of how many hours he works, whether or not you get a bonus, maybe you get an inheritance from a long lost relative, it all goes into one account as your increase. It's all God's anyway. He's providing it to you. It may come by your employer. It may come by a gift. It could come any number of ways. Your income will increase over time. His will as well. At some point, you may make more than him. It doesn't matter. You guys are one flesh. I think it needs to come into one account, and then you build the plan around it. You're doing great. You don't need to apologize for anything. You're doing awesome. But I think, you know, the key is, how do we free up enough margin to fund that emergency fund is our next priority. Let's do this. Stay on the line. I'm going to get you connected with a certified Christian financial counselor to put it all together. We'll be right back.
You hope your child will grow up to be resilient and confident about the future. Next time on Focus on the Family, Dr. Kathy Cook gives insight on how you can build a framework for instilling resilient character in your child. Character to aid them as they walk through life. Next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
No part of our life can be left unprotected or exposed. The Bible doesn't tell us to choose 4 or 5 out of these pieces of armor, whichever ones we want, and to implement them. No, we are told to put on, notice, the whole armor of God.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Spiritual Warfare, Armor of the Believer, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly 3 decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I had a chance to talk to Katie off the air. We're going to get a certified Christian financial counselor connected to them. We'll cover the cost. But I think, you know, the key for her, and this applies to so many of you listening, is, you know, the starting point for money management as a married couple is everything belongs to God. We have values and priorities. God is taking us somewhere as a married couple. We bring different backgrounds and perspectives to the marriage relationship. Keep in mind, you know, the way you view money today is largely influenced by your upbringing. I mean, the way you handle money was in place by the age of 9, the studies will say. And so we bring those different backgrounds and perspectives into the marriage relationship. That's not a bad thing. As long as we have the understanding and good communication, it actually allows us to be a more accurate reflection of Christ. Because we bring these different perspectives and wirings to the table, but the key is we've got to manage it together as one flesh in unity. It's not mine and yours, it's ours. It's actually all God's entrusted to us as one flesh. So then, as we move together with jointly set goals based on our values and priorities as Christ followers, then we, okay, now whatever comes into the household is the increase that God has provided, and then we create the budget that reflects both of us and ultimately where God is leading And then we make the hard decisions to live within God's provision so that we don't take on debt, so that we have margin to save for the future. And by the way, what the studies say is that avoiding conflict in marriage comes down to, yes, communication, yes, understanding our unique perspectives and backgrounds, but thirdly, having cushion. It's not a matter of your income, the data says. The way you overcome, in part, conflict in marriage over money is to have cushion or margin. That's the key to you being able to fund your goals, paying down debt, giving more, saving for the future, all of those things. But it starts with approaching it, not with separate bank accounts, but together as joint finances under the Lord. So hopefully that's helpful and encouraging to you today. We're so thankful that Katie called, and hopefully the Christian Financial Counselor will be helpful in helping them rethink their budget together as a married couple. All right, hey, before we head back to the phones today, here on a Tuesday morning, our good friend Bob Dahl is stopping by to give us an update on the market and the economy. Bob, any thoughts on that before we dive into the markets? Just, you know, as you've thought about managing money as a married couple, how have you guys approached it?
Yeah, your comments were just right on the mark. You know, marriages, good ones and not so good ones, money can be a source of conflict.
Yeah.
And I know Leslie and I, we fought over giving. We both wanted to give, but she wanted to give there, here, I wanted to give there. And it's communication and compromise and seeking the Lord's will. So it's a process. It's not an event. But what joy can come from being on the same page. So love your principles.
Absolutely. That's well said, Bob. All right, let's dive into the markets, Bob. You know, obviously, it's been kind of a seesaw here with the markets up and down. A lot of that stemming from recent Fed comments and inflation data. But just what do you make of where we find ourselves today?
I like the seesaw analogy. I think we're going to see more of that. We'll be whipsawed. You know, last week it looked like the world might end. Yesterday and today, the market's up, and so we're feeling better. But I think we're just going to bounce around. We need some answers. What's inflation going to look like? How's the Fed going to react to that? How good will earnings be? Will they be good enough for the high estimates for this year and next to stay, or will they, despite reasonably good earnings, will the numbers start coming down? Lots of cross currents. And of course, we threw a little Middle East conflict in the middle of all that, and oil prices ran up, and now they're coming back down some. So lots of variables, Rob, and that usually means choppy markets.
Yeah, no question. Bob, I'm going to ask you to opine on what the Fed might or might not do, and I realize that's a tall order, but do you believe that they have the staying power to see these higher inflation or higher interest rates through to actually get inflation down where it should be? Or do you feel like if we start to see more signs of a recession, perhaps even a deeper recession, that they're going to throw in the towel?
Yeah, you just cited the two at war with each other Fed objectives. They have two mandates, and that is stable price level, meaning keep inflation low, and two, keep the economy going, particularly through the unemployment rate. So if we drift to a recession, yes, the Fed will start fighting it by lowering interest rates, even if they haven't got inflation back to 2%. You know how skeptical I am on the ability to get to 2%, certainly without a recession. I don't think we can get there. So they're between the proverbial rock and hard place, and they're going to have to make some tough choices down the line.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Bob, just looking back over the last 100 years, I mean, obviously we've gotten comfortable and enjoyed this 2% interest rate environment, but that's not been the historical average. And is it problematic if we settle in at something higher for a longer period of time going forward?
Great question. So let's just debate between 2 and 3, let's say. 2 is the Fed's goal. 3 is closer to the long term. And you might say 2 versus 3, what's the big deal, Bob? And my response would be, there's not a big deal for 3% inflation unless you're expecting 2. I come back to the financial markets. It makes a big difference for interest rates and therefore the bond market if the long-term rate's going to be, inflation's going to be 2 or 3. The valuation of the price earnings ratio for the stock market, it's over 20. It's assuming we're going to get to 2. if we wave the white flag and say, no, we're only going to get three, stocks have to pull back some. So big difference between the two, and that debate has not really started yet because the Fed keeps saying two. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah. We'll yeah. See. Exactly right. Bob, speaking of inflation, one of your key takeaways in your Dahl's deliberations this week was a political reality related to the same grocery basket in terms of increases in prices in the Trump administration versus the Biden administration, which is obviously on the minds of voters in an election year. Break that down for us.
Yes, here are the facts, and I didn't comment because I don't want to take political sides. It's not my role. But the grocery basket, a representative grocery basket, since President Biden started office, which of course is three-plus years now, up 21%. Under Donald Trump's 4 years, that same basket up only 7%. So big difference between the two. And you're right. Considerations for voters will be a whole long list of things, but this will be an important one, I suspect.
No doubt. Let's finish with that consumer, Bob, and the health of the consumer in light of those that 21% increase in a basket of groceries, not to mention what's going on with car insurance and a whole host of other things. How is the consumer holding up?
Reasonably well overall. The problem is underneath the surface. So high-end consumers, they're doing fine. They've enjoyed appreciation and the stock market, most of them are working and their incomes are fine, they're up some. But when you go down the consumer spread into to lower income levels, it's a struggle. You just mentioned it. You know, the 21% that we just cited, car insurance, medical payments, et cetera, et cetera. And there's evidence now that the lower end consumers are taking credit card debt out to pay their bills more than before, and even some signs of raiding 401k accounts to live. Mm. That's not good. That's not sustainable. So overall, the consumer looks fine, but when you get underneath the surface, there's some fracturing taking place.
Excellent. Folks, if you'd like Bob's weekly investment commentary delivered to your inbox, or you want to learn how your values can intersect with your investments, just head to crossmarkglobal.com. That's crossmarkglobal.com. Bob, thanks for stopping by.
All the best.
All right. That's Bob Dahl. He's Chief Executive Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. Hey, let's round out the broadcast with a couple of additional phone calls. Gerald, you've been waiting patiently there in Tennessee. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, good morning, Rob, and thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
My question's a little confusing, but hopefully I can explain it. I'm 74 years old, semi-retired minister. I still haven't earned income. My retirement funds were in Guidestone.
Okay.
And I was given some bad advice, and I rolled those funds over to a 401k. So I found out now that in order to claim housing allowance as a minister, those retirement funds, it has to come out of a 403B account. So I'm wondering, are you familiar with that law? And do I have any recourse other than rolling those funds back into Guidestone?
Yeah, it's a good question. I know that the IRS allows you you know, of all established church denominations, and that would certainly include the Baptists, to declare a housing allowance on distributions of a 403B. And I believe you are right in terms of that does not happen in the same way out of a 401k, but I'm not certain of that. So I think it would be important for you to check with a CPA on that. Do you have a CPA that you work with?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
I do.
That's really your next step, is to get that professional counsel from a certified public accountant. It may be that, again, as long as it's still inside that tax-deferred account and you can document that it's specifically going to the housing allowance and that that housing allowance is, you know, normal and customary in terms of you can establish the basis for it as being, you know, tied to the fair rental value of the home. then, you know, you could pull it out of either one, but you're going to need to get that professional counsel. So I think that's your next step before you make any decisions. Get a CPA involved in this. Gerald, I apologize. I don't have a definitive answer on it, but it's a good question and one you need to get to the bottom of before you take another step here. Hey, thanks for being on the program today, sir. God bless you. Olga, let's see if we can get you on tomorrow. I apologize we didn't have time. Folks, thanks for being with us today. Thanks to my team today, Devin, Robert, and Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.